Father, we just thank you this morning that you are, God, our living, living hope. Father, I thank you that the grave has no power over our lives. The Bible says that we have been set free from that fear of death. Father, I thank you this morning for this time together with your presence, your spirit. Those that are watching live online, we welcome you this morning. Our prayer is that God's Holy Spirit is ministering to you, that you feel His presence right there where you're at this morning, just like we're experiencing it here. Such a beautiful atmosphere. The Bible says wherever two or more are gathered, He's in the midst. Wherever two or more, we got more than that this morning. Of course, we're praying that everybody's safe and warm. But I tell you what, we're going to have an incredible few moments this morning. We've had amazing worship. We're going to get into the Word here in just a moment. I want to pray for all those that are watching. Prayer requests of those who have contacted us this week. So right where you're at, just agree with me. Just stand with me, in prayer. Father, we thank you. We lift up each and every need and request to you. God, we are so appreciative of the fact that you know the needs that we have before we even bring them to you. That you've instructed us. You've instructed us, Father, to bring our requests into your presence. We thank you for your mercy. But God, we need your grace. They need your grace this morning to help in the time of their need. There's someone that's watching this morning, Father, that is overwhelmed, even with loneliness. Maybe they're overwhelmed with shame and guilt. Whatever it is, Father, I thank you that you'll minister to them this morning. As they're watching, as they're listening. Father, we just thank you. We lift up all these requests and need to you this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Those that are watching this morning, we're glad that you're here with us. Of course, the snowstorm of 2019 that they were talking about finally did arrive last night. And so the roads and everything were kind of hazardous this morning. Even though the road crews, we got in here to church, the road crews have done a great job. But I tell you what, we're glad that you're watching this morning. Hopefully that you'll just hit that share button, share with your friends, and stay with us. Not going to be a long get-together this morning, but I got some things and I want to share with you that are in my heart concerning developing a relationship, developing a friendship, a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And so get your Bibles, grab your cup of coffee. Hope it's nice and toasty warm right where you're at. Hope it's comfortable. They're going to make some camera adjustments. This camera over here is set up. And so all you got to do is push the space bar, and then she can make an adjustment there. But welcome, everybody. It's good to see everybody here. Jacob is watching. Tammy just checked on. Heck, a shout out to Karen Anderson Burns is watching. Mary O'Neill is watching. All kinds of people watching. Christopher Donnell, if you're still on, good morning. Welcome, everybody. If I missed anybody, Doug, hello, good morning, welcome. Get your Bibles. Let's get ready to get into some Word this morning. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit living a filled life. You know, the Bible says that Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. It says that Peter was full of the Holy Spirit. Paul was full of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that we've been created and designed by God to also live life filled with His Spirit. I like to call it this way, live life on full. And so let's get into some things this morning, maybe 25, 30 minutes. So get your coffee. I don't drink coffee, so I'll pray for those who do. But just joking around there. But get your Bibles, and let's get into some things this morning. This past week, actually Wednesday night, we talked about some of these things. But last Sunday, we talked about God has created us, designed each one of us to live life full of His presence, His Spirit, have that fullness of His Holy Spirit in each one of our lives. And Jesus said this. Jesus said that it was to our advantage. Think about this for a moment. When He was with His disciples, and He developed such a close relationship with them, and they had relied so much upon Him. I mean, from the brink of death in the boat, Jesus spoke to the winds and the wave, "Peace be still." All those things that they had experienced in His life and ministry, they developed such a bond and a closeness, and Jesus begins to teach them and begins to reveal to them that He's getting ready to leave and go back to the Father who sent Him. And he said, you know, that you've not asked me where I'm going, but your heart is full of sorrow because I've said these things to you. But then he said, it's to your advantage. It's to your advantage that I go, because he said, if I do not go, the Holy Spirit won't come. He said, I'm going to go and I'm going to pray that the Father will send the Holy Spirit. It's to your advantage. And it says in the Bible that he will be another helper, another comforter. And so if he's another helper, another comforter, that means they had one already. And that comforter, that helper was Jesus. And it's interesting that Jesus considered his disciples not just followers, not just disciples, but he considered them friends. And we sing songs about that, that we're the friend of God. Just think about that for a moment, that God considers us his friend. Jesus considers us his friend. The Holy Spirit also considers us his friend. And we want to develop a deep friendship with him. And we're going to look at some of those things this morning. You know, this past week, I shared this Wednesday night, that this past week in my studies and my time, last Sunday, we talked about surrendering, giving our life, in a sense, surrendering our life. And this past week, it's like I began to focus on some things, and there are some things the Holy Spirit spoke to me about. And I told someone the other day, I said, I have not turned a television on all week. I'm telling you, the way I used to go to bed to the TV, watch the news. I'd wake up in the morning, watch the news. Now, someone says, you've not watched any TV? Well, no, I said, I have not turned it on. I mean, I've been in situations where people have been watching television like that, and I don't say anything. We just watch television, but I've not turned it on. And what's interesting, that just that small little instruction that I feel like the Holy Spirit gave me on the inside, when I was obedient to it, those times where I would used to fill with the news, that noise, he speaks to me. And he began to show me some things concerning not just our relationship with him, our relationship with Jesus, our relationship with others, each other, but he took me into the Old Testament, and he said, look at the wisdom and look at the tabernacle in the Old Testament. He said, begin to meditate upon it. And I began to meditate upon that tabernacle, and he talked about how there was three areas that were a part of that tabernacle. There was the outer court, there was the inner court or the holy place, and there was the most holy place. And he said, it's like there's the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit. There's three. He said, your spirit, soul, and body, created in the image and likeness of God. He said, there's wisdom there. And I began to dig, and I began to look at what he was revealing to me concerning the tabernacle in relationships. And in that, I began to see that the outer court, a lot of people could be in the outer court. It's the area where the masses, the people could gather. And then there was a smaller group that would be able to go into the holy place, the inner court, but then only one time a year would the high priest go into the most holy place. And I began to look at the life of Jesus, and I began to see how those three areas, in a sense, we can look at people and how they relate to Jesus. And I began to look, and I began to study, and I began to see, you know what? He had multitudes that followed him. That he had a lot of people that followed him. And it said that the multitudes followed him because they sought a sign. They sought a miracle. They were looking for what Jesus could give them. They were in need. They needed healing. They needed deliverance. They were in need. And it says that the multitudes followed him based upon seeking a sign. And I thought, you know, a lot of people continue to do the same thing with Jesus and the Holy Spirit today. We get excited about the Holy Spirit. We want to see a miracle. We want to see a sign. And I'm not against miracles and signs, because we should see those happening today. The Bible says that these signs will follow them that believe. These signs will follow them that believe. I'm a believer, then signs should be following. Same in your life. But they related to Jesus upon wanting a sign, wanting a miracle, wanting a need for them to be met. And that was like the multitudes. But then, you know, Jesus had 12 disciples. that were closer to him. And it also says he appointed 70 others that went out, and they were anointed. And not only were they seeking a sign to receive a sign, they now were experiencing the power. I mean, Peter got to walk on water. That's amazing. That's incredible. The 70 that he sent out and he anointed, says they came back and they were like so excited. They were so excited. They were pumped up that they saw these incredible things happening wherever they went. They said, man, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And I began to meditate about that. I thought, you know, a lot of church people can be in that area where, man, we want the power and we want this and we want that and we want to experience all these incredible things. And man, we get excited, man. We go to meetings. And I can remember Brother Hagin way back when I was at Rhema in the early 80s. Brother Hagin at camp meeting and stuff like that, he might start out. And I can remember after Monday night meetings where a powerful anointing fell. And maybe there was 10,000 people there. But then the next night after he had either saw an angel or floating the prophetic, man, there'd be 2,000-3,000 more people there the next night. Why? Because they heard that the Holy Spirit was moving. And so all of a sudden they'd rush to that meeting to see it. So it's like the outer court, the multitudes, they're wanting a sign, they're wanting something for themselves. The inner court, the holy place, we get excited about the power. We get excited about things happening. We get excited. Man, the Holy Ghost showed up. The Holy Ghost this. The Holy Ghost that. And we get excited about those things. And Jesus said this to those 70 disciples. He said, don't get excited that the demons are subject to you. Don't get excited about that. He said, rather rejoice that your name, this is relationship, rejoice that your name is written in heaven. And then you think about the holy place. The holy place. You had the multitudes. You had the 82 disciples. But then look at the night that Jesus was betrayed and he went to the garden and he was just with that group of 12. And it says that they entered the garden, that the disciples, they stopped. But then he went a little bit further and three of them, Peter, James, and John, went a little bit further with them. And then even he went a little bit further from them. So even in that setting, where there was 82 that he sent out, then the night that he was betrayed, there was 12. But even within that, there was three that he even had a closer relationship with. And I want to develop that type of relationship with the Holy Spirit, because see, he's another comforter. So if Jesus is our friend, then the Holy Spirit is going to be a friend to us also. And how do I develop that? I don't want to just be a seeker. I don't want to be a multitude. I don't want the Holy Spirit in my life just because what he can give me. I need a sign. I need a miracle. I need provision. I need this. And I don't even just want to take this step further and go into the holy place and say, I want the power. I want the power. I want the power. You know, there was a man that watched the early apostles praying for people to receive the Holy Spirit. And he said, man, I'll give you anything. I want to pay you to receive that power. And we get excited about that. I mean, we have revival and we'll get together amongst ourselves and we'll talk about how amazing revival was for a week or two. And then we go back and I want something that's a deeper relationship. I want that relationship that Peter, James, and John had with Jesus. And not only that, I want the relationship that John had with Jesus. I mean, think about this for a moment. When Jesus was on the cross, it says that the disciple that Jesus loved and his mother were there. And before Jesus said it was finished and gave up the Spirit, he looked at his mother and said, Mother, here's your son. And he looked at his disciple, John, and said, John, here's your mother. He entrusted his mother to, I believe, one of his closest friends. It says who he loved. Now, how do we develop that relationship? How do we develop that relationship with the Holy Spirit? I know the Holy Spirit wants that relationship with us. Well, we have to go from the outer court, we have to go through the inner court, and we have to go through the holiest go into the holy place. And what that means to me, and what I'm seeing the Holy Spirit speaking to me, is that we have to go from where it's about us and what He can do in our life, and we have to go to where it's not just about the power. See, when you think about the outer court, really we could say that's the what. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And the inner court is how. The power. But then when you get to the most holy place, that's the who. That's the person. And I feel that even when we desire and seek just His presence so much, really what we're wanting is Him to show up and us feel His power and us shake or dance, whatever it is we do, fall out under the power. Those are incredible times, but I even want to develop something deeper than that. I want to develop a relationship with the who the Holy Spirit is. And I tell you what, I have found that in order to have that type of great relationship, Jesus gave us some insight concerning friendships, concerning that relationship, when He said this. He said this in John. He said, "Greater love has no man than this." I told you to get your Bible, so let's turn to some Bible verses here this morning. I've been quoting everything. But go with me here this morning to John chapter 13. And I want you to see something here concerning Jesus and His disciples. He called them His friends. And in John 13, verse 1, it says, "Now when the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour had come, that He should depart from this world to the Father," it says, at that time, at the end, when He knew His time had come, think about this, He's getting ready to be separated from everybody He's been close to and be imprisoned, beat, whipped, crucified, and give up His life. He said His hour had come that He should depart from this world to the Father. And then it says this, "having loved His own who were in the world." Having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. He loved them to the end. Here's what I'm seeing in Scripture concerning a deep relationship, friendship. It's based upon love. It's based upon love. You know, I mean, the other night we went out to eat and stuff like that with some friends and stuff like that. And we were having a great time just fellowshipping and laughing and things like that. And then our waiter, the person that was waiting on us, he made a comment about the Kansas City Chiefs. And I was like, immediately, I perked up and I said, "You Chiefs fan?" And he goes, "Oh, I lived in Kansas City. I lived in Overland Park. I lived in blah, blah, blah." He goes, "I was there for a couple years." And he said, "I'm rooting for him." Now, he, between the Chiefs and the Steelers, he would have chosen the Steelers because he grew up in Pittsburgh. But he said, "I'm rooting for him all the way." And we got to talking and stuff like that. And so we kind of developed this friendship. You know, he said, "Hey, have you ever come back in? Da, 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 da. You know, hopefully I'm here." But it's not a real deep friendship. I mean, he's never going to call me up to help him move or anything like that. And if he does, I'm going to be like, whoa. But we have that same type of relationship. We have people that we know or acquaintances with kind of in the outer court. Then we have people that are closer to us. But then we have those couple real close friendships. And it's interesting, if somebody in the outer court called you up and said, "Hey, man, my sister's moving. I hate to call you, my sister's moving, but I really need your help." And they're in the outer court. They're just kind of in that big circle of friends. We'd be like, whoa, that's kind of strange. But if one of our inner circle friends, called us and said, "Hey, man, my sister's moving and I need some help," we wouldn't even question it. We'd say, "Just let me know when I'm there." Because that relationship has developed and it's based upon love. It's not just a one-way thing. And my thing with this concerning building a relationship with the Holy Spirit is I want the Scripture to show me like nuts and bolts. I mean, you know, I don't want to just tell you, "Well, go pray in the Holy Spirit for an hour and you'll become His friend." That can be part of it. But what are some things that we can actually do? And last week we talked about surrendering. We talked about how if you're already full, like just like the TV situation with me, if I'm getting up every morning and I'm listening to this news and this news and this news and this news and I'm listening to all the news that's going on in the world, I'm filling myself up. And once I'm full, boom, I have no more room. But if I don't fill myself up with all these other things and I create an emptiness in me by watching what I'm putting in me, then all of a sudden that emptiness, that void, the Holy Spirit will fill. He'll begin to speak to you. It's incredible. I've been enjoying such an amazing time in the morning, listening to praise and worship, and not only just listening to praise and worship, but just completely nothing, silent. That's one thing we have to develop, how to be silent, just fellowship and commune with the Spirit. So I want to give you some nuts and bolts this morning about how to develop, what we need to do to develop that deeper friendship. Jesus gave us a key in John chapter 15. Go with me to John chapter 15. If you're in John 13, go with me to John chapter 15 and I think we're going to start in verse 12. True friendship is based upon love. It goes beyond, you know, just stop and think about this. I mean, we all maybe have a friend like this, but you know, if you have a truck, everybody's your friend. And anytime they need to move something, they'll call you. But if you were ever to have to call some of them to help, you couldn't find them. True friendship, that deeper relationship, that deeper friendship is based upon a giving from both parties. Now here's what I know about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to develop this relationship. And we see that we cannot outgive God. You can't outgive the Father, He gave His Son. You can't outgive the Son because He gave His life. And you can't outgive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the one that gives us His love, His presence. But in return, are we going to be seekers in the outer court? Thank you. I appreciate your love. Thank you. I appreciate the fact that you tell me that you're my friend. I appreciate all the things that you can do in my life. Or are we going to get to the point where we return that love, that greater love, like Jesus did with the Father, and say, you know what, I'm not here to do my thing. I'm not here to live life just for me. I'm here. Jesus said this. Jesus said, I'm sent to do the Father's will. I'm sent to do the Father's will. When He met the woman at the well, and His disciples had gone in town to get food and stuff like that, the Bible says that He was tired, He was hungry, and He was weary. And they went into town to get food to come back and to give Him nourishment. And while they were gone, He ministered to this woman at the well. And a small revival broke out. She went and told everybody in the town that she lived in, and it says many people believed in Him because of her testimony. But when the disciples came back, they saw Him speaking to this woman, and when they brought the food to Him, Jesus said, you know, He said, I have food to eat of that you don't know of. He said, you don't know about the food that I've just been eating. And His disciples said, did anybody beat us back here? Did somebody bring Him some food to eat that we don't know about? Jesus said, my food, my meat is to do the will of Him who sent me. We have to get to that place where we're not outer court. We're not even just inner court. But we get to that place where we say, not my will. It's a surrender. It's an investment. Some people use the terminology, it's a cost. It's going to cost you this. It's going to cost you your time. It's going to cost you your emotion. It's going to cost your... No, it's not a cost. Because Jesus has already paid the price. It's an investment. It's an investment. An investment is when a person willingly gives of their time, gives of their talent, gives of their abilities, gives of their emotions. You know, worship and praise is an investment. I love worship. I love praise. But when I worship, I'm investing, I'm giving of myself into Him. And it always pays returns. It always pays returns. Bible says that He inhabits my praise. Man, some of the most intimate times that I have with the Holy Spirit is around worship. And it's not even corporate worship. It's individual worship. Many times when I'm getting ready to do something, or I'm driving down the road. So in order for us to develop a closer relationship, we have to understand this truth that Jesus taught us in John chapter 15, in verse 12. He says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Okay? He was the example. He said, "I'm telling you to love each other like I've loved you." And then he goes on in verse 13, "Greater love." There's no greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. To give one's life for his friends. There's no greater love. If our relationship with God, the Father, and our relationship with Jesus and the Holy Spirit is based upon love, Jesus just told us if you want to have the greatest love that you can have in that relationship, it's a love that you lay your life down for the friend. If Jesus is my friend, if I want to develop the greatest level of friendship that I can with him, it's not just him laying down his life for me, it's me laying down my life for him. If I want to develop that relationship with the Father, it's me saying, "Father, not my will be done, but your will be done." If I want to develop that relationship with the Holy Spirit, this is nuts and bolts stuff. This is I'm not telling you to go do something that, you know, pray and then tell the Holy Spirit to speak. No. This is nuts and bolts. You can simply say every morning, "Not my will be done today, Holy Spirit, your will be done." And Jesus says that's the greatest love that you can offer a friend. Greatest love you can offer a friend. And the Bible says that a friend will stick closer than a brother. The Holy Spirit is a friend in our life. We need to be a friend back into his presence, into his life. And Jesus said, "Greater love has no man than this, that one lay down his life for his friends." And then verse 14, a lot of times we don't read verse 14. He says this, you are my friends if you do whatever I commanded. You're my friends. So one way that we lay our life down is we do what the Word tells us we're called to do. And sometimes that's easy, sometimes it's difficult, sometimes it's extremely difficult, because it tells us to forgive those who have done things to us that we don't really want to forgive them for. But Jesus said, if you want to be my friend, you'll do what I've asked you to do, you'll do what I command. Now stop and think about this from a standpoint. This is exactly what Jesus did. This is exactly what Jesus did with the Father. Okay? It says, "I did not come into this world to do my own will. I didn't come to be served. I come to serve. I didn't come into this world to do what I wanted to do." He said, "I've come to do my Father's will." And think about the garden. In the garden that night, when Jesus was faced with that cup of suffering, he who knew no sin becoming sin, the pain, the physical pain in his physical body, but everything that was going on in his entire three-part being, spirit, soul, and body, what was going on, him becoming sin, he who knew no sin becoming sin so that we could become the righteousness of God, all that going on, and in the midst of all that, Jesus wrestling back and forth, the Bible says, to the point where he was so intense in his prayer that he literally began to sweat drops of blood, that the pressure in his physical body so intense that the capillaries burst and blood begin to come out of his sweat ducts. It's that type of battle going on, and in the midst of it, his love for the Father, no greater love than this, his love for us was solidified, because he said, "Not, Father, not my will, your will." Now that's an investment. That's an investment. And this morning I want to encourage you, man. The Holy Spirit, it's to your advantage, Jesus said. It's to your advantage that I go, so that the Holy Spirit will come. He told his disciples that the Holy Spirit had been with them, and they knew him because they'd been with them, but there would come a time where he would be in them. That he'd be in them. In that time, the Bible says, was after he was glorified. He had to be glorified. He had to go to the Father. He had to accomplish everything that he had accomplished. He had to pay the price for our sins so that the Holy Spirit could be sent, not to be with us, but to be in us, so that we could live life full of the Spirit, living life on full. Now, here's the thing about living life on full. It doesn't mean your physical body's never going to get tired. It doesn't mean that you're going to not become weary. It doesn't mean that you're not going to face battles. It doesn't mean that you're going to have times where you want to give up and quit. No. What it means in those times is like Paul. Paul said, when I'm weak, then I am strong. Why? He said, I'm strong because the power of Christ rests upon me. The Spirit on the inside of us. Living life on full doesn't mean a bed of roses. It means that when you're going through something, you have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. That when you're battling some of the greatest battles in life, you can look to the Holy Spirit and say, I need you. And that grace and that anointing will be there to help you through what you're going through until you get to the other side. We have an incredible opportunity and invitation by God the Father to have a deep relationship with His Spirit. Jesus prepared this temple, this tabernacle, so that the Holy Spirit could live in us by becoming sons, so that we could become His righteousness. The first step, the Holy Spirit's around all of us. The Holy Spirit's in this world. The Holy Spirit is what's speaking to a person that maybe doesn't even believe God completely. When they look up at the stars, they went, wow, that's amazing. Who created those things? But if you want the Holy Spirit in your life, then you as the temple, the tabernacle of the Holy Spirit, it has to be prepared. It has to be made ready. It has to be made righteous. There's only one way for that to happen. That's through the gift of Jesus Christ. The Bible says we've all sinned. You know, we can debate all day long. The church is full of sinners. The church is full of hypocrites. You know what? The world is full of them. We're all sinners. We're all hypocrites. Without Jesus, none of us can be prepared and made ready to be the tabernacle, that temple that the Holy Spirit dwells in. And it's all based upon God's mercy and His love. That gift this morning, I want to encourage you. I want to share it with you. It's simple. You don't have to join a church. You don't have to be in a church building. You don't have to come up front. You don't have to kneel down. In fact, I did this back in junior high in a coach's, what we called his office. It was a cage where all the equipment was held. I prayed this prayer, a simple prayer. I just said, Father, I thank you that you sent your Son to die for me. Jesus, I thank you that you gave your life. It says, he who knew no sin. You didn't know any sin, but you became sin so that I could become righteousness. And so I said, Father, forgive me. Forgive me from all the wrong that I've done, all the sins that I've committed. I believe that Jesus is your Son. And I believe that you sent him to die for my sins. And then I surrendered. I said, Jesus, this is my life. I surrender to you. It's that simple. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it. Coach Hallbrook, Tom Hallbrook. I call him the father, my father of faith. He's down in the Texas area. Hopefully maybe he'll see this. I'm so appreciative of someone. He was a young teacher, just out of college. Man, he loved God and he wanted to impact and change our lives. And he did. There's so many young men that are in the ministry today out of that group because of his faithfulness. Because he said, Father, not my will be done, but your will be done. So this morning, if you've never done that, do it right where you're at today. I encourage you. Do that. Accept him. Pray that prayer that I pray. Just say, Father, forgive me. Father, I thank you that you love me. Jesus, I thank you that you love me, that you gave your life. Father, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And I pray that you forgive me of my sins. And I thank you. I thank you for cleansing me. The Bible says, removing my sins as far as the east is from the west. and that you remember them no more. Think about that. He'll remember them no more. Shame is destroyed. Doesn't matter what you've done. Ask God to forgive you. And then I want you to take a step further. And even those that are watching this morning that have done that in the past, I want you to take it a step further. I want you to ask for the Holy Spirit to fill your life. I want you to ask for the Holy Spirit to fill your life. The Bible says, Jesus said this. Jesus said that if we ask our Father for the Holy Spirit, He won't give us a stone. He won't give us a serpent. He'll give us His Spirit. So right where you're at this morning, just say, Father, fill me with the promise. Fill me with your Spirit. And if you're watching this morning and you've even been filled with the Spirit, ask Him for a fresh filling. Just lift your hands right where you're at, by yourself right there. Just say, Father, fill me. Fill me. I need to live life on full. I need to be full of your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. I don't want to relate to you in the outer court, not just what you can do in my life. I don't want to relate to you just in the inner court, the holy place, what you can do through my life. I want to relate to you as your friend. I want to relate with the who you are. In order for me to do that, I have to lay my desires down. Lay my will down. Not my will, Father, but your will. Holy Spirit, today, the rest of the day, when we get up tomorrow morning, we pray, not my will be done, Holy Spirit, your will be done. And Holy Spirit, speak to each one of us. Oh, I thank you for your presence. I thank you for the power. Thank you for the dunamis, that power that has been promised. But I thank you for who you are in my life, for the who. Develop this relationship with me. This morning, I want to just encourage you as we get ready to go. I want to thank you if you've watched this morning. Thanks for tuning in and joining us. If you shared it, thank you for sharing it. If you found us, you've never been to one of our services, I encourage and invite you to get the information. We're in Urbana, Ohio, 775 Washington Avenue. Come join us. People here are amazing. The people at the River of Life, they're incredible. I know that you'll just fall in love with them and they'll fall in love with you. But I want to encourage you today, tomorrow, to make sure that you're not so full of everything else that's going on in your life and create an emptiness, a hunger for the Holy Spirit. Maybe do like what I did. Don't turn the television on as much. And then take that time to say, Holy Spirit, speak to me. Show me. Talk to me. Fellowship. Not what I want to do today, but I want to fulfill your will also. And I know that He will do exactly what the Word tells us He'll do and what He's been doing in my life, is He will begin to speak to you in new ways. Praying God's blessings upon your life. I want to thank Destiny and Tammy and David for coming in this morning and anointed worship and praise that we had earlier. So we love you guys. Enjoy this Ohio weather. If you love snow, I better see you go out and get in the snow and make a snow angel or something this afternoon. Unless you just love it so much you like to look at it through the window with a hot cup of coffee. Just enjoy your day. God bless you. We love you. Thanks for tuning in. Hope this word has been a blessing to you. God bless you.